Okay, Erev Tov Umvorach. Good evening, everybody. Parashat Shavua.
You want this?
Yitro.
No, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, I remember last year, because it's called Yitro, and Yitro wasn't a Jew.
No, he was
also, Balak wasn't a Jew, and there is a parasha on his name also. Yitro is the first ger in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was also.
But before we talk about Yitro, I think we should talk about Tu Bishvat. I know that usually we talk about Parashat Shavua, but we also had Tu Bishvat today. And some of us And some of us go through it as like another day.
No, we had to say that.
Very good. Okay, very good. Now, what is the whole idea behind Tu Bishvat? One of the famous questions is, why do we celebrate the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot on Tu Bishvat? Because, logically, we go out, you see nothing about on the trees. The trees don't look exactly very happy. They don't look exactly full with flowers or with fruits. Like, it's still winter. And in 2 months' time, on Nisan, then we go out and we see all the beautiful trees and flowers. And you have a mitzvah on Nisan when you go out to bless the trees. Birkat ha'ilanot. So the question is, if on Nisan you should go out and bless all the ilanot, all the trees, so why don't we celebrate on Nisan Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot? Why do we celebrate it on Tu Bishvat? So the Gemara says, "Mikivan sheyatzu rov gishmei shana le'ala saraf ba'ilan." Most of the rain already went down, and in the tree is the saraf. What is the saraf? I don't know how you say it in English. It's sap. The inside. What?
The sap.
The sap of the tree is now coming in the tree. So, what does it mean?
Starting.
You see, the point is, sometimes we look at things and we see nothing, but inside things are happening. And those things that happen today, they will make the future. In other words, it all depends on what's happening today inside, is what you're going to see outside in 2 months. So what the Gemara is really saying, that most of the rain already went down, went into the tree, and the sap is now ready. And this means that from now on, it's only a procedure. It's already there. In other words, the fruits are already inside. We are going to see them in 2 months' time, but it's already started. Now is the beginning point. That's why we celebrate today. And what does it mean? If we had good water, so the sap is going to give good, which means that in 2 months' time we'll have good fruits. If the water was not so good, maybe dirty water, poison water, what's going to happen to the sap? No good. In other words, in 2 months' time, no fruits
or
bad food, of course. Now, what does this has to do with us? Says ki Adam u etz hasadeh. Human being is like a tree. And there's a lot of things to learn from the trees. But let's first of all learn what's the connection between the water that falls on the tree and the sap and the fruits. So the water is, what is water?
Torah.
And what is the sap? The sap is when the water, the Torah, goes in you, your neshama is filled up, and now you are prepared to do good things, which are the fruits, the mitzvahs, the chesed you do, the good deeds you do. Those are the fruits. And they can only come out if you have good sap. If you got the water of the Torah in a proper way. If you didn't get it in a proper way or from the proper place, in other words, if you got poison water, no fruits or bad fruits. If you got it from a pure place, pure water, then you have pure fruits. In other words, it's not enough to get the knowledge. It's who is giving me the knowledge? And how do I put it inside me? And what do I do with it? If I learn from somebody which all his roots are rotten, like he is teaching me the Torah in a wrong way, so of course the results are going to happen later on. So when I want to have the Torah in a proper way, I should find a good teacher that will teach me the right way. And then I will have good seeds inside me that will produce good fruits in the future. So we understand now, why do we celebrate Tu Bishvat? Because on Tu Bishvat, everything is already
in place,
and from now on, it's only a procedure, because it already happened. We don't see it, but it's already happened. From the other point, there's another lesson here. Sometimes, we don't see anything. Like, we learn and learn and learn, and we try, and nothing is happening. So, look at the tree. You look at the tree now, do you see anything happening? No. But something is happening, because the water, it's doing its job. We don't see it, but it's inside the tree. The same is when you learn and you try to be good and you say it, you don't see the results right away, but you will see them, definitely. If you are learning from the right teacher and you're doing the right things, eventually you will also have the fruits. The same way as the tree. It's like you see the tree in the winter, no leaves. And you look at the tree is dead. It looks like it's dead. But the real truth is that when spring is going to come, you will see the whole tree is blossom. Also, another thing. Sometimes you have to cut the trees. And you think to yourself, what a shame, I'm cutting the tree. But what's happening? The result is that the tree grows
stronger
and nicer. The same way as with us. Sometimes we have to cut our pride. And we think to ourselves, oh, I'm humiliating myself, I'm cutting my pride, I'm giving up. But the real truth is that all those things you're doing are going to cause you to grow much stronger and much nicer. So there's a lot to learn from a tree. Rabbi Akiva, at the age of 40, goes to learn. He sits in the class. He is 40 years old. He sits with the 7 years old, Kita Aleph. And the teacher is trying to teach things, and nothing goes into his head. And all the kids laughing at him. He doesn't understand. Nothing. No. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, nothing goes in. He is really very depressed, and he wants to give up. So he goes out, and in the field he sees a stone that water is dripping on it, and in the stone there is a hole. And he looks at it and says, wow, look at this. When you look at the first drop, the second drop, the third drop, 10 drops, 100 drops, 1,000 drops, do you see anything happen to the stone? No. It takes a long time. If you take maybe a microscope or something that is going to put everything in, let's say, 200,000 times bigger, then maybe you will see the drop is doing something. But normally looking at the stone, you see nothing. But the fact is, those drops made the hole. So Rabbi Akiva looks at it and says, oh, if the water made a hole in the stone, so even my head
can get a hole
and the Torah will go in.
I saw a beautiful painting at the park. Is an exhibition of people that have given their paintings for some charity.
Yes.
So it was a field with trees, and the one tree in the front, the trunk. The trunk. was like the back of the person's neck, and then the with the back of the hair.
Yeah.
It was just something so beautiful.
So,
like trees, like man.
Yeah, of course. It says ki adamu etz hasadeh. We have a lot to learn from the tree. So we look at the water that goes in the tree. The same thing, the same story. Drop by drop, the best system today known in the whole world is the drip system. It's the best way. From the other side, so we understood that if drop by drop, it goes in eventually. Now let's say, maybe I can make a shortcut. I take the whole water in one go. What's going to happen now? If it's on the tree, the tree is going to rot. If it's on the stone, nothing is going to happen. And we had it last week in the Parsha that says that the slave girl saw what the prophet Yechezkel didn't see. Because they saw God. So the question is being asked, this slave girl, did it make any change in her life? She stayed a slave girl. Why? But she saw God. So what? If you take everything in one go, the light comes on you in one go, what happens? You are blinded. Too much light is no light. In other words, you have to take it. By Kabbalah, by the way, it's well known, the whole idea is tzimtzum. In other words, if you want to work on yourself, you have to how do you say it?
Contract.
Contract. Contraction.
No. To reduce yourself to.
Contract.
Gradual.
No,
it's not contract.
No, there is an. I don't know. Make yourself smaller. It's not shrink. Yeah. But the thing is that you cannot take the whole light. The light means what God Shmuel wants to give us. He wants to give us the whole light. But we cannot get the whole light because we're not ready for it. It's going to blind us. So what do? We put a screen that will stop the light from coming in, and we take only a very small quantity of light. The same way I cannot look at the sun, I have to put special glasses in order to reduce the light of the sun so I can look at it. The same way is here, you cannot take everything in one go. You have to build yourself.
You know, one shul that I hear it says, like in a tahana from
to minimize.
Light.
To minimize? Minimize.
To reduce,
to minimize back, yourself. To minimize yourself. Yes, sorry.
That is a tahana from lights, from
electric station.
Electricity, and it's big, and it's a lot of. But to come in one menorah, it makes contraction through the cables, the wires, until it comes in one light. No, it's a lot, and it's you need to pass out.
You have thousands of volts, then here comes in only 220.
It's like you take an electric appliance and you put it in the wrong socket. Mm. And you get too much electricity. What happens to it? It's burnt. It's finished.
Yeah.
So the same thing is here. We learn that's the lesson. If we put the whole thing in one go, it's not going to work. It's we have to
impossible.
Do it step by step.
The same as I think I said last week, antibiotics. You've got to take tablets over 5 days.
Yes.
You don't just take the whole
thing. In other words, this is the lesson that Rabbi Akiva is teaching us from the stone. And this is the lesson we learn from the tree. And that's the lesson we have to learn for ourselves. Sometimes we don't see the results right away. But if we do it in the right way, step by step, eventually it will happen. It will go in. And not only it's going to go in, that's the best way to take it. Because if you take everything in one go,
it's not going to happen.
Laat, laat.
Yes, exactly. A lot of things you have to do them leat leat, step by step, because there are no shortcuts. You cannot be a scholar in 1 year. It takes years to be a scholar. If you cannot be, let's say, a scientist in 1 month, the years to learn. So, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian. So, the Kohen Midian is Yitro. It's a very interesting thing that when we look at Yitro, in the beginning, it's Moshe is the Chatan of Yitro Kohen Midian. So the important guy in the beginning, when he runs away from Egypt, is who? Yitro. In our parsha, is Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian Choten Moshe. Yitro, the Kohen of Midian. What is his importance? That he is the father-in-law of Moshe. And then we go on. Suddenly, Yitro is not a Kohen Midian at all. He is only Yitro, Choten Moshe. Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe. Doesn't end here. Then when we look on the Parsha, it's not even Yitro anymore. No Yitro, no Kohen Midian, it's Choten Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. In other words, we see the procedure, how Moshe Rabbeinu starts as, let's say, a nobody, and the important guy is Yitro, is a Kohen Midian, is a big shot. And then when he gets the message from God, and he becomes the shaliach of God to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, he is being elevated, and to the point that now, when he's coming back on his way from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, Yitro comes to him, and the important guy now is Moshe, not Yitro anymore. And then Yitro loses all his identity to Moshe. And it's maybe also showing us that Yitro did it from his own will. He understood that there is only one God, and that's our God. Because he was searching to find the right God. He was trying all the idols in the world, and nobody gave him the right answer. Nobody was the right God. Till he heard what happened in Egypt. But when he heard what happened in Egypt, it's not so simple. Because he comes, and he comes because he heard all the miracles that happened. But then, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayisaper Moshe Lechotno, yeah, sorry.
But Yitro was responsible for building the legal system.
Right? Yes. So and by the way,
he wasn't a nobody.
No, that's not. It's not that he's a nobody. Who is more important.
Right. Okay. In line, but he really gave Moshe the whole.
Which also leads us to a question: what is the Torah trying to tell us? That this guy came and gave us an advice. What? Well, are we not clever enough to understand this?
He was an efficiency expert. What's wrong?
No, it's to show us that goyim have wisdom. We are not. No, the thing is, some Jews think we are the most clever people in the world. Wrong. We are the chosen people. But we have Torah. The goyim have got no Torah. But wisdom? The goyim are also clever. They also have seichel, they also got wisdom. And one of the big lessons is Yitro. Yitro is coming to Am Yisrael, this clever nation that just now went through all those big miracles with Moshe Rabbeinu, this guy, there is nobody bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. And he is getting an advice from a Gentile. Which the Torah is trying to say, Chochma Bagoyim Ta'amim. But that's not the only lesson. Because the big lesson from Yitro is that everybody can choose to be a part of Am Yisrael. Everybody. It's not only us. We are born as Am Yisrael. Okay. It's a privilege and also a responsibility. But the going, they haven't got this responsibility. They haven't got this duty. So they can choose to do 7 mitzvahs. They don't have to join us. They can be tzaddikim in their own way with 7 mitzvahs. But if you're really looking for the truth, so you can become a part of Am Yisrael. It's no problem. And if you look through history, a few of the greatest people in Am Yisrael were Gerim. Ruta Moavia.
But we don't encourage...
No, we don't.
We don't encourage them because we don't want them to do it from the wrong reasons.
Right.
You see, I've got a worker now. I had another one, a Russian, before. He did, in the army, he did the Giyur. And he told me he feels not good with it.
Yeah,
why?
He told us.
Yes, because he didn't do it for the right reason. He did it because he wanted to get married to a Jewish girl and to have his children as Jewish. And now I have another worker that he's also a goy. I don't even know if he converted or not. But the funny thing is, his sister is ultra-Orthodox. She did a giyur ka'alacha, a proper giyur, and she became ultra-Orthodox and doesn't want to talk with her mother.
That's not good.
Now, what is the, I wanted to know if his father is Jewish. I understood that his mother is not Jewish. So I asked him today, is your father Jewish? He says, no, no. My grandmother...
Was Jewish.
My grandfather was Jewish.
Grandfather, no grandmother.
His grandfather was Jewish. So in other words, he's not Jewish, and his parents are not Jewish. And you think to yourself, well, what's happening here? They brought all those people from Russia. They are not Jewish. They've got nothing to do with being Jewish.
Yeah.
And then here, they convert them in the easiest way there is. Now, what is... To convert yourself, what? To write into that zehut, I am Jewish.
To make a breed.
Is this a ger? Is this a ger? No, that's not a ger. A ger is like Yitro. Yitro listened, and he wanted to be a part of Am Yisrael. He wanted to do the mitzvahs. That's a ger. A ger is somebody who wants to be a part of Am Yisrael. Not that will write in the that zehut is Jewish. Which means nothing, because he's doing nothing about it.
But you know who are the guilty.
He can do the army also not being Jewish. He doesn't have to be Jewish in order to do the army.
But you know who are the guilty?
What, sorry?
You know who are the guilty because they think that only Teodah Zehut is enough to be Jewish. The Jews that don't want to be Jews.
I'm not going into this issue. It's a very complicated issue. I'm not going into it. The point is that to be a ger is to become Jewish 100%. If later on you don't do the mitzvah, that's a different problem. But the thing is that you commit yourself. Because to being Jewish, it's not to be Americans or to be Israeli. It's a different. You can be an Israeli and not Jewish. But if you want to be Jewish is a religion. It's not
a nation.
They just had a katava today about this fellow who had a Jewish mother and married a Muslim, and he was brought up as a Muslim.
Yeah, because in the Muslim, the father, it goes to the father. In with us, it goes to the mother.
As a Muslim, his mother died when he was young, and the father remarried, and he was brought up as an Arab. And somehow, something to do with an instalat or somebody, they found out he's Jewish. And he now wears a kippah, and he took on his Jew. There's an organization called Ach, something where they...
Yad L'Achim.
Yeah, they
rescue. Yes, that's all they do. So, it's very interesting. Like, it's a very, we can talk about it for hours. But the idea is that everybody can be Jewish. We don't try to sell it to them for a very simple reason, because we don't want them to do it from the wrong reason. And by the way, when Moshe Rabbeinu is being ordered to tell Am Yisrael and ask them, do you want to take the Torah on you? He's being told, you have to tell them exactly, God is telling what I'm saying to you. And the question is, why? Why is God making sure that he says exactly what he's being told and nothing else? Because God didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to try and talk them to be Jewish.
To persuade
them to become Jewish, to take the Torah. He wanted the decision to be a decision that is being made on the word of God, and if they want to do it or not, not because he is a good speaker.
He wasn't.
That's exactly, by the way, that's exactly why he was chosen. That's exactly the point. The Ran says, Rabbeinu Nissim says, that's exactly the reason that he had problem with talking. Because God wanted to make sure that Am Yisrael did it from the right reason, and not because he knew how to talk. So he didn't know how to talk. And he was here ordered to say exactly what, by the way, it was also a test for him, not only for Am Yisrael. Because Torah is telling us that each letter here is from God. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu would add something from his own, it means that the Torah is not 100% from God. So in other words, it was also a test for Moshe Rabbeinu not to change anything. And he didn't. And we still chose from our own free will to become the nation of God.
Just a minute.
Yes.
But what about this story that it's mentioned that Hashem elevate the mountain to Am Yisrael, and if they don't choose, they will...
Kafalem har kegigit.
And later we confirm in Purim this.
Yes. Okay. So that's a very good question, and there are a lot of answers. So we'll try to answer a few of them. The first answer is that why did God force them to take the Torah if they already took it willingly? Because, you know, they took it from love. And when you love somebody and you don't fear him, sometimes you do things that you think that he's going to forgive. Why? Because he loves you and you love him. Like parents with children. The children know that their parents love them, so sometimes they allow themselves to do things that are not exactly right, and they think that as we are their parents and we love them, we're going to forgive them. And there is a problem here, because sometimes the kids do a terrible thing that will cause who knows what in the future. So in other words, it's not enough to love your parents, you have also to have the fear of your parents. And that's the idea. The Torah is telling us, you cannot just take, I want to keep the Torah because I love God and I love the Torah. You have also to know who God is and fear God, and you have to be forced to take the Torah, because if the moment will come and it's going to be hard to keep the mitzvahs, what are you going to do then? If it's only love, so unfortunately sometimes, you know, it's too hard. I said, okay, love. He also loves me. Yeah, he will let me go. But if it's also fear, that's a different thing. So even if it's difficult, you know, I have to do it, because otherwise I'm going to get punished or I'm going to lose something. So that's why God forced them to take the Torah. That's why I don't like this explanation, by the way. I like the others better. And I'll explain why. I like to go in the nice way. Well, so what is the nice way? It's very, very simple. I think the Rabbi Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal says it. It brings, I don't know who he brings in, but it's very interesting. It says, there is a midrash that says, if you take the Torah, okay, if not, Sham tiyek vuratchem, you're going to be buried there. What's the meaning? The meaning is very simple. When God created the world, he created the world for what? What was the purpose?
For
Am Yisrael to receive the Torah and keep it. Mm-hmm. In other words, Im lo Torati yomam v'layla, chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If you don't keep the Torah day and night, I'm going to cancel all the laws of nature. In other words, no world. So that's what he's telling them. Kafalem didn't take the mountain. He told them, you know, it's very nice that you took the Torah from love, but I want to tell you a fact. If you don't do the Torah, this world is going to disappear, stop being. That's kafalem hagigit. And I love this explanation more, because it means that the whole world is built on the Torah. And this is why kafalem hagigit. Then there is another answer. It's also very nice. It says, they say naseh v'nishma. They said, what's Naseh v'Nishma? We'll do
and then we'll listen.
And we'll listen. What does it mean? First they say we'll do and then we'll listen. It's first you listen, then you do. It's the upside down. It says no. It says That's what the greatness of Avraham said. They said, we're going to do it anyway.
No matter
what. And then we'll hear what we have to do exactly. But there is another explanation.
Like says, when someone says to you, can you do me a favor? And usually they say, what?
Yes, exactly. And here they didn't say what. Here, it says, okay.
But, you know, can you do me a favor? Yeah. What?
So here, there is another interesting explanation. It says, Na'aseh v'nishma. They said, Na'aseh, what we hear from Mount of Sinai, Aseret HaDibrot, the Torah that is written, we're going to do with no question. But what our sages are going to tell us, we lishma, we listen, and then we decide if to do or not. So Torah shebichtav, the written Torah, we're going to do, no question asked. The oral Torah, we listen, and then decide what to do. Said to them, God, sorry, doesn't work like this. You have to keep also Torah shebaal peh. In other words, Torah shebichtav, so kafalim harkigi, so God forced them what? Not to take the Torah which is written, because that's already they said they're going to do. Right. But to force them the Torah Shebaal Peh. But then when Purim came and the big miracle was happening because of Mordechai, they saw the power of Chazal, of our sages, and then they received the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, willingly. That's the explanation on Kafalim Hakigigi.
Very nice.
So,
I knew already, but I want to.
You wanted to hear him say.
Of course.
Testing you.
Everybody.
Yes. Okay, no problem. So, we see here that Am Yisrael received the Torah. Am Yisrael are the messenger, the Am Sgula. And the mission is to teach the whole world. But it starts from us. And how does it start? How do I receive the Torah? First of all, it's written, Vayichan Sham Yisrael. Am Yisrael stand in front of the mountain and says, Vayichan, Vayichan, Yichan Sham, Vayachanu. It's written in singular, but it has to be in plural. But it's written in singular. So Rashi said on the spot, Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad. Like one. That's unbelievable. In other words, in order to receive the Torah and to be the messengers of God, what's the first thing we have to do?
To be united.
So you would say, well, this is...
Utopia.
Utopia, it's even worse. It's nothing even to think about. How can we, Am Yisrael, be together? You have two Jews, you have three opinions. You know, I have this guy.
And five Jews.
A few years ago, I saw this program, and in a certain place in the world, they had two Jews or something in two shuls, and one in the one side of the street and the other one on the other side. Only two Jews. They have two shuls. There were more Jews there, but they still kept, you know, instead of being together. I can tell you a lot of stories about this. So, like when I come to Shanghai, they have a Sephardi community. And they have Chabad community. And sometimes there are not a lot of people there.
In the same building?
Not in the same building, but let's say 5 minutes walk. Now, sometimes there are not a lot of people there that they haven't got a minion. So they both won't have a minion. But if they will go together, they will have a minion. But they don't go together. And you know, we look at those things and you think to yourself, every day we have to remember six things, Ashkenazi, and the Sephardim 10 or 13. And one of the things to remember is Ma'amad Har Sinai. What is Ma'amad Har Sinai? What is Ma'amad Har Sinai?
United.
What do we have to remember? When we say, Liskor Ma'amad Har Sinai, what do we have to remember?
What say in the Har Sinai? Why we listen to the Har Sinai, no?
What you said is right. It's not Matan Torah. It's not. It's not. For years I was thinking that to remember us standing in front of the mountain is Matan Torah. But then I realized that that's what's written. Written very clearly, Ma'amad Har Sinai. No Matan Torah. Matan Torah is something that's a part of us. It's not something to remember. So what do we remember? What is so important about Ma'amad Har Sinai?
United. They were united.
As we said, Keish Echad Belevrat. What is so important on Mamad Har Sinai was a unique moment. By the way, Rashi, it's not nice to say, but Rashi says that all the other times that they were standing, they were separate. That's the only time that they were united. Not by a machitza. They did machitzas. But it's, and you know, you remember I told you once that I had the experience that, yes, you can do this. You can be Keish Echad Belevrat. And if you want this experience, you have to go on Shavuot. You can go on Slichas also, but the best time is on Shavuot morning to go to the Kotel to daven in Anetz when the sun rises, comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this experience, and it's an unbelievable experience. You know, you go around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's that.
You come out, and you see suddenly...
You went?
Hundreds of thousands of people going from all around. Men, women, children, ultra-Orthodox, not religious, Hasidim, Mitnagdim, everybody. But the funny thing is, you have to feel it. Why? It's the middle of the night, and the streets are full. But there is something very important here. You know, also in the middle of the day, sometimes the streets are full, but everybody's going in a different direction. But this time, everybody was walking in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to the Kotel, you see there's no place. Full. And then the beautiful thing is that when the time comes to Daven Shmoneh Esrei, it's at the same time when the sun comes up. Suddenly,
quiet.
Everybody's davening Shmoneh Esrei. And yet you sit there and you think to yourself, the Shekhinah is coming down. That's Vayichan Sham Yisrael Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. And you know, it was very hard to daven there. Why? At the right side, I had a Yamanite minyan. The left side, the Hasidim minyan. On the back, I had a Sfaradim minyan. On front, I have a Yekes minyan. So, and you know, and everybody together there. It's
so
very
how
hard.
Is we had the
because of this?
Because at the minute that Shmoneh Esrei came,
everybody
was doing the same thing in the same way. Davening Shmoneh Esrei. The same Shmoneh Esrei.
And then it's quiet.
And it's quiet. And you know, it was the feeling was, you have to understand it, that's the beauty about it. As we said, we have to be united, but not the same. We need achdut, lo achidut. God doesn't want us to be the same. He wants us to be together with all our differences. And that's what I felt when I was a Yamanite minyan, a Hasidic minyan. I felt, this is Am Yisrael. And that's the beauty of Am Yisrael. That each one of us has maybe a different way of approaching God. But it's all with the same idea. All want to get to the same place. To be with God. Together. Ki ish echad belev echad. You know, I said that time, Mimini Michael, Mismoli Gabriel, Milfanai Uruel, Machorai Rafael, Val Roshi, Shrinat El. It's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable moment. And you know, you have to feel it. You have to be there to understand it. In other words, yes, we can do this. If we will find what puts us together. You know, I once tell you a story about a couple that had a row between them, and they came to the rabbi, Rav Adam Sinai, a very clever guy. He teaches Kabbalah. What was the problem is, they had a business, and the business went mechola, almost. And the wife came in and saved the business. And now they were fighting between them, was no shalom bayit, and they came to the rabbi, and the rabbi asked them, what's the problem? So the husband says, you know, my wife, I had this very good friend from... I know him from... I told you the story. And she threw him away out of the shop. And the wife is saying, yes, of course I throw him out of the shop. This guy owes us a lot of money, didn't pay anything, took again and again and again merchandise, didn't pay for it. Now he wants to take it again. Mapito. Now, how do you take those things? Now, the one side and the other side, right and left. Can you do something together? So, what did the Rav Adam Sinai told them? You know, we say, Tovim Ashnai Min Ha'echad. Two are better than one. When? When they two take the power and put it together, so you have two with the same thing. But if each one is keeping his own way, it's not two. That's not Tovim Ashnai Min Ha'echad. That's one and one. And nevertheless, you will lose also your identity, and she will lose her identity. Why? Because you're fighting. Nobody is giving nobody to nobody. It's also when they say you come to a marriage consultant, he says, you have to give up. Nonsense.
To give in
a little bit. At the Zav Adam Sinai, no. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give up. What you have to do is
to
fulfill each other, to find the common path, if you understand what I mean. In other words, in this case, you have an argument. Can you find something that will give this problem a solution? Yes. If you sit together and instead of going against each other, try to take your idea with her idea and build together an idea that will combine your two forces to get the right result. So what did they do? Very simple. They approached this guy and he told him, you know, you are a very good friend of mine. And, you know, we all almost went mechola. And you already took stuff and didn't pay. And, you know, if you're such a good friend, you have to understand that it's impossible for me to give you more stuff because I just now just raised my head above the problem. And if I'm going to give away stuff and with no money, I'm going to collapse again. Now, if he's a good friend, what would he say? What would he do? He says, you know what, you're right. I try and pay you off what I owe you. And what did he do now? Is the wife satisfied?
Yeah.
Is the husband satisfied?
Yeah.
In other words, there is a solution.
If the guy has the money to pay.
Even if he hasn't got, they're still going to be friends. Why? He didn't give him. He didn't give him. What did the wife say? Don't give him. What did he say? I'm going to lose a friend. Now this way, did he lose a friend?
No.
Did she...
Depends on the guy.
Did she give him anything? No, if he's not a friend, it's not an old question.
Then it's no friend.
Then it's no friend, there is no question. We're talking about a friend, a real friend.
Then it's a good test to see if
Really a good friend. Yeah, if he's not a friend. If he's not a friend, we've got no problem. He's not a friend. So there is no problem from the beginning. In other words, there is always a way to find the middle way that will lead both sides to the right target.
So the person that owns the money says, I'll give it to you back, but leave near there.
Whatever he says, he can say. The point is that right now, yes, if he pays or doesn't pay, we don't care about it now. Because what we wanted to find out, a solution that everybody's going to be satisfied. So the husband is satisfied because he didn't throw the friend out of the shop. And the wife is satisfied because she didn't want to throw the friend out of the shop. She just didn't want to give him anything more. So in other words, she's also satisfied. In other words, if we in life, that's what happens. You know, a lot of times we fight with each other instead of sitting on the table and start find a way. Take the power, take the plus, and one plus one, you have two. But if you take one minus one, what have you got? Zero. Nothing. So the one plus one is two. But one minus one
is
nothing. So it's not giving up. It's joining together. For the same purpose. Yes, I heard somebody once, he said that marriage is like shoes.
Shoes.
Yes. Funny, huh? Yeah. You have the right shoe and you have the left shoe. You cannot put the right on the left and the left on the right. In other words, a woman cannot be a man and a man cannot be a woman. And everybody's got his own ideas because this is right and this is left. But what direction do they go?
In front.
The same direction. So as long as you go in the same direction, even if it's right and left,
I want to ask.
If you go in the same direction, you will find a way. Yes.
I want, before you finish, I want to ask you something to explain me better what is doing and then listen.
Na'aseh v'nishma.
No, because I cannot understand what is doing.
Well, you teach a child.
What do you mean? What's the?
I don't know. Well, I'll do all the mitzvahs.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I'll listen.
And then I'll.
Yeah. See, the simple explanation is, you know, your father comes to you and tells you, I want you to do this. Now you have two options. He says, why? Or you do it because your father is asking you to do it and you're sure that whatever your father is asking you is for your own benefit. And then you ask why.
The husband.
Is there a different?
The husband, not the father.
You want me to start something with you? I just don't talk about peace and you want to make a fight.
When I do something, I need to understand what I am doing.
Why? That's why do you need to understand? The doctor tells you to take the medicine. You're going to learn what the medicine is, or you're going to take the medicine?
Yes, I'm going to take the medicine.
Why? Why are you going to take the medicine?
But I need to understand what I have, because...
Why are you taking the medicine, I'm asking? Because you trust the doctor that if he gave you the medicine, he's going to help you. Then you're going to do a research. What is this medicine exactly doing? But what do you do first?
You take
the medicine. That's naaseh v'nishma. Mm-hmm. God is telling you to do something. So you're asking questions? Yeah. First of all, you do. Then you start to research. Why? What's this exactly? What's the idea? It's no problem. You can ask whatever you want. But... first of all, do what God is asking you. That's Naseh v'Nishma. In a simple version. No, with no complications.
No, because Shabbos, to keep Shabbos, there is a lot of
laws.
Yes.
And halachot. Yes.
You have to learn.
But I need to understand to do.
But you may understand why you're doing it.
You see, what you may be asking a different question. You will say, I have to know what to do. That's what you may be asking, but that's not the issue here. Here is, you know what to do, but maybe you don't know why. God is telling you, pick the glass very clearly. So you pick the glass and then, why? What's the idea behind it? But first of all, you pick the glass. If you don't understand what God wants you to do, so you have to learn and understand. That's a different thing. But God is trying to tell you very clearly what you should do. So Naaseh v'Nishma, when God tells you something to do, first of all you do, then you ask questions.
But there are a lot of interpretations of what Nishma is.
Yeah, of course. That's why I said, we just now said that Nishma, that Naaseh v'Nishma is a different thing.
It could be hear, or it could be listen. Or it could be even understand. There's a lot of, you know, interpretation. No,
it's written in the parasha.
It's two things different.
Right. That's
because
right.
Because in shamoa tishma. What's in shamoa tishma?
If you
listen, then you will have the power to listen more.
To hear. Yes. What do you do before? Hear or listen? You hear before, and then you understand, and then you listen.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, you say, it's like sometimes, you know, what God is telling you, if you start doing the right things in the right way, then you could go on the right way. But you have to start. So in other words, the first step has to be done. Then you get to the second step, the third step, as we said in the beginning, step by step. But you see, the idea of Naaseh v'Nishma is that we trust God. It's the same way we say Shema Yisrael. How do we say Shema Yisrael? What is the mother teaching the child the first thing? Shema Yisrael. How?
By rote.
How? Like this. Shema Yisrael. Why? Trusting God. This I do what God asked me with
blind eyes.
With blind eyes. That's what God wants us. But you know what you do to your three fingers?
Shaddai.
And what was the this one and this one?
Shin.
No,
you
do like this.
No, I don't know what is this.
First of all, it's the name of God. But I'm not going to go into it.
Yes, I know.
Then it's right and left. It's always right and left. And the middle is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the middle.
Ah, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of explanation of it.
I had a very cute joke today. Why?